Amen. You may be seated. Now, if you're visiting with us this morning here at Lake Country Bible Church, we just really want to welcome you. Thank you for joining us in our worship. And if you look in a pouch in the chair in front of you, you'll find a little pouch with a form and a pen in it. If you'd fill that out, give us a little information about yourselves. Put that in the wicker basket on the door to the right of the door on the way out in the morning. We would sure love to have a little information about you and make sure you're known that you're welcome here. So thank y'all. And who's reading our fairway? There he is. Darn it. It make a difference. Let's see you hop like that to get back up.
Okay. Now we're hot. Okay. Now, join me in your bulletins, if you would, please. Still a little hot. Okay. Prayer meeting is every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. here in the antechamber. Of course, everybody is welcome for that. Silent prayers are welcome, too. If you have any desire to be a part of that, there's only a small group of people that come to that, but they would love to have company. To hear your hearts and to pray for not only our church, but the nation and surrounding community. Women's Bible study is every Tuesday night at 6:30. That's led by Terry Buckler. They also meet back here in this same room. And they're going through the book of 1 Samuel. All ladies are welcome. Bring a friend if you would like. I don't know. How long do those meetings normally go? 6:30 to somewhere around 8 o'clock before they disperse. Wednesday night services, prayer, Bible study at 6 p.m. Everyone is welcome to that as well. Kindness Cottage, food pantry collection, August 27th. Needs are kid snacks, crackers, cookies, packages, fruit snacks, Pop-Tart spaghetti noodles. There's a whole list there. If you have anything that you'd like to bring or in addition to what's on the list, just see Jean Fox back there at the back. She's wearing a red and white striped shirt. Big old smile on her face. She'd love to visit with you about that ministry. Opportunities to serve. This is a new one. I think last week as well, it was back there, but there was no announcement made about it. There's a lot of opportunities to serve in the church. If you have talents or desire to serve in some way and you're not sure who to connect with, there's a whiteboard back there next to our, like next to the billboard back there, and it just has a number of opportunities listed there where if you feel like you're being led to serve in some way, there's a list of projects there that you can plug in with. You can see any one of the elders or deacons or leadership members that are listed also on your bulletin and just plug in with one of those. Jean Fox would be a great starting point as well. Obviously, she's wearing the red and white striped shirt and big old smiley face. She'd love to visit with you. I'm going to plug her into a lot of places this morning, but she loves the church, and she's a great person to connect with if you don't recognize one of us. Anyway, join me in prayer if you would as well. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for this place, this congregation, this fellowship, Lord, of believers that love one another, but most especially we love you. We thank you for your salvation message through grace by faith alone. Thank you for how simple that is, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity that we can be called the sons and daughters of God, that we can be brothers and sisters together and share in one place together in worshiping you and studying your word and growing closer to you. growing more knowledgeable in you, and finding new ways to serve you. May we reach out to this community around us, and that they would also, through us as your tools, your children, that they would come to the saving grace and knowledge of who you are and who your Son is and what He did for us. Ask, Lord, your blessing over this time, this worship service, Brad and Brenda and the work that they do here, as well as Mike McFarland and his stewardship of your word. Lord, we thank you for their faithfulness in all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pardon me, I'm out of breath. Let's see, this morning, we're in the book of Daniel. Chapter 2, verse 20. I'll read two verses. I'll let out of breath for two. Okay, Daniel, pardon me, I'm sorry. Daniel 2 through 22. Then the king gave the command to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And then the king said to them, I have a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream. Then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Your servants the dream, and tell your servants the dream, and we will give the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, My decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made an ash heap. However, if you tell the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts, rewards, and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation. They answered again and said, Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will give its interpretation. And the king answered and said, I know for certain that you would know that you would gain time, because you see that my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me, there is only one decree for you. For you have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the time has changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can give me its interpretation. The Chaldeans answered the king again and said, There is not a man on earth who can tell the king this matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it except to the king, except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this reason, the king was angry and very furious, and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Then with the counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. And he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, Why is a decree from the king so urgent? Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him the time, that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek the mercies from God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. When the secret was revealed to Daniel, then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changes the times and the seasons, and He removes the kings and raises up the kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is the darkness, and the light dwells in Him.
Cold front moves along. Let's get a little warm weather here.
Woo!
It's amazing how God works. He sends people our way, fill in when something unexpected pops up. So we appreciate, Wes, we appreciate you so much, even though you didn't jump up on the platform. Your husband is a show-off. Woman looked at her husband one morning. She says, "Our neighbor, he always kisses his wife goodbye in the morning when he leaves for work. Why can't you do that?" He said, "Dom, I don't even know her name." So, Daniel, that's where we're at this morning. And by the way, Brenda, once again, feels you have a special talent. Thank you so much for using it here. And Brad would be lost without you too, because I can't lead a song or sing a song. My wife won't even let me sing in the shower. Turn with me, if you would, to Daniel chapter 2. And let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you so much that there's truth in that song. When you were on the cross, we were on your mind. Father, in fact, the whole world was on your mind. Father, you love us with such a perfect love. You gave such a specific, perfect payment for our sin. Father, till we come to know you as our personal Savior, I'm convinced that your joy is not as full as it is when another person comes to know you as their personal Savior. Father, we ask that this morning your word might be plain. Father, we know that we're only human. I'm only human. Sunday school teachers are only human. Father, we do the best we can through the leadership of your Holy Spirit to be clear and concise. Father, you're the one who takes the word, makes application to us, makes it clear things that we need to know as your children. Father, guide our thoughts, our minds, in our words this morning. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Daniel chapter 2. We find in Daniel chapter 2, about midway of the chapter, we find that Daniel has received a command, or if you would, a job to do. And that job to do is to reveal to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, what his dream was. Nebuchadnezzar had the dream. Nebuchadnezzar could not remember what the dream was, nor could he remember what the application or the meaning of the dream was. We find in Daniel chapter 2, verse 17, that the Word of God tells us that Daniel went to his house, and he spoke to his friends who were there in captivity with him, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he said, boy, we've got a job to do. And the only way that we can do it, this is in East Texas vernacular, the only way that we can do it is to let's get started and let's pray and ask God's leadership. And so in Daniel chapter 2, verse 18, we read then, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men. We saw last week that Daniel went to his fellow countrymen, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he made known to them what was their task. That they had needs. The need, one need, is that they should not perish. The other need that they had was that they would know the dream and the meaning of the dream. We find in verse 18, he goes on and he says, Daniel and his friends asked God to reveal the king's dream to them. I would imagine that was quite a prayer meeting they had as they went before the Lord. Their lives depended on it. Their service to the king would not be stopped. We find in verse 19, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. And Daniel blessed the Lord, or blessed the God of heaven. Do we do that? Question that I posed to you and to me last week was, do we do that ourselves? Do we go before the Lord and bless Him for His goodness to us? Times in life can be tough. God, I think, allows things come our way. Things get tough to the point that there's no way for us to turn, no direction for us to turn but to the Lord and seek His provision for that need. Sometimes the difficulties come not as a fault of ours or as a result of what we have done or haven't done. They just come. I'm convinced because of what I have seen in my life that many times God brings those things to me and my life, into my life, because of something I have done. God wanted to encourage me, if you would. I've learned more during the difficult times of life than I have sometimes during the good times. God brings things our way for our benefit and for His glory. And Daniel blessed the God of heaven. For whatever reason, God allowed this in the life of Daniel. He was already a captive. He was already in difficult situations. And this even made it worse. And when God revealed that dream to Daniel, I'm sure there were wide smiles upon his and his three friends' faces. We find over 200 plus times we find that dreams or visions are mentioned in the Word of God. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 20, we find that Daniel's petition was turned to praise. This thing that had bothered him affected not only himself and his fellow countrymen, but all of the ones that stood in the court of the king to give advice to the king Nebuchadnezzar. Their lives depended upon the interpretation of the dream and what it meant. And we find in Daniel chapter 2, verse 20, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. for wisdom and might are his. Daniel was overflowing with thanksgiving. I have had times in my life, and I'm sure that you have had times in your life, when things went so well, you just couldn't believe it. God maybe came through with an answer to prayer, possibly for healing, possibly for a new job, possibly for a situation in the family that was tough. We've all experienced those times. But Daniel said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever." He made a statement. He said a truth. And then he backs it up with a reason. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his." That's how God came about in Daniel's situation to meet his need. Wisdom and might are his. We, as God's children, many times go through life needing the wisdom of God input into our lives, into our thoughts, into our purposes. But we don't recognize it. Do we, as God's children, recognize God's wisdom as he's working in our lives? We might view the situation as burdensome. We might view the situation as unbearable. We might view the situation as unfounded. But God's wisdom is at work. And God has a way of supplying that need, whatever it might be, for leadership, for direction, for correction. No matter the reason, God can and will supply if we but ask. We find in Daniel chapter 2, verses 21, 22, that Daniel acknowledges who God is. He acknowledges what God can do and will do. He calls upon the Lord. And Daniel's petition was answered. Daniel's petition turned to praise of the God of wisdom and might. We find in verse 21, "And he changeth," Daniel describing this one who he called upon, God himself. And he says, "And he," God, "changeth the times, the seasons. He removeth kings, setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, knowledge to them that know understanding." He does that. That's who he is. Daniel is revealing and verbally, if you would, describing the attributes of God, his God. We find in verse 1, the dream of Nebuchadnezzar is concerning the changes and successions of kingdoms. Daniel was expecting one kind of revelation, and yet the revelation that God gives Daniel is for years to come, to be fulfilled in this age in which we live today, to be seen if we look around. We can see some of those changes taking place in our world today. This is who God is. He changes the times, the seasons. He sets up and removes kings. And we call upon him asking for wisdom. He gives that to us if we understand who God is. Our lives. Do we? Verse 22, he revealeth the deep and secret things. Once again, this is who God is. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Knowledge. Revelation belongs to God. Daniel acknowledges here that God appoints and removes kings. He sets up kingdoms. He removes kingdoms. And Daniel is acknowledging that. You know, Daniel has not only an acknowledgement here, but he has a response. But my question to you and to myself this morning is, do we understand who our Heavenly Father is if we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior? When things get tough, when they don't go just exactly as we thought they would or planned for, how do we respond? How do we go about removing those doubts and fears that we all have? Many come in the middle of the night. I've had my share. Daniel acknowledges who God is. He accepts what God has done as an answer to his prayer. And Daniel's response here in verse 23 is a response to what God did. Thanksgiving. Have you ever been so blessed by the Lord and an answer come through in such a plain way that all you could do is just thank the Lord? Have you? I have. Daniel says this in verse 23, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hath given me wisdom and might, and hath made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Daniel's thanksgiving. We many times thank the Lord in a small way. But how many times in our lives have we actually, physically, in person, fallen to our knees in thanksgiving? I'm just really convicted that in my life it's not been that many times. I am certain that this kind of display of thanksgiving is so pleasing to me. I thank thee, he said, and praise thee. Interesting thing about verse 23, Daniel uses the word me, who has given me wisdom and might, made himself known unto me. He changed, and doesn't use a singular word or noun, he uses a plural. We desired of thee, for how thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. Well, I believe that Daniel's dream and its interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream was preparatory education to Daniel himself for things to come in his own life. You see, Daniel remained there in Babylon after Nebuchadnezzar was gone. He was there. He saw things transpire. And here I believe that Daniel was being educated, if you would, by God himself, preparing him for what was to come, not only in our day and time, which I think this vision or dream of Nebuchadnezzar dealt with. We'll look at that. Probably we'll get to it next week. But it's a special revelation that God gave to Daniel, educating him on the things that were to come down the road. We find, as we continue on in verse 24, we find that God gave Daniel faith and confidence. Daniel, in fear and trepidation and concern, heard what the king was planning, because none of his wise men knew his dream. Daniel had confidence as he went to the Lord. Daniel reveled in God's answer. He was overcome with praise for God's goodness. Daniel 24, we find in 25, 26, and 27, Daniel has confidence and faith that God is going to work. Therefore, Daniel, we find in verse 24, went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordered to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Faith and confidence. Daniel had faith that God would perform what he promised. Daniel blessed God because he was confident in God's leadership and his protection. Daniel's entire faith was on the line as he went to the king's servant, Arioch, and said, bring me to the king. I know what he dreamed that night, and I will show to him the interpretation. Verse 25, Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus unto him. I find the next phrase is quite unique. Well, maybe not. It's probably, I would probably all do it. You see, Arioch stood before the king, and the king said, you go and you slaughter, you kill every one of those in my realm, if you would, of influence, because they can't tell me the dream. They can't tell me the interpretation. You go and you kill them. Daniel said, you go and tell the king that I can tell him the dream. Arioch, much like we are many times, when God is at work and God has worked in our lives, are a lot like Arioch. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus unto him, I have found a man. I have found a man. Took the credit for Daniel. Finding Daniel. Oh, listen. God knew where Daniel was at. God knew where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were at. Arioch said, I found a man. Me. I've done it. I took care of it. Daniel chapter 2. Continuing on in verse 25. I found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, answered and said to Daniel, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I've seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel, in full boldness, faith and confidence, replied, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise man, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. That was a little bit brash, I would believe, on Daniel's part. Find it in the Word of God. Sometimes we, as God's children, need to be bold and straightforward. Daniel said, and all of these other guys out here, these educated, smart, influential people, can't they answer your dream? Can't you get satisfaction from them? He would might say. I would tell you this morning, no. No, man cannot. Only God can do things such as that. Man's unable. Man is weak. Daniel said, verse 28, but there is a God. Daniel prefaced in verse 28 what he was going to say in verse 28. He was going to impress upon King Nebuchadnezzar the foolishness of depending on man, where only God can work. But there's a God, Daniel said, in heaven, that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream, the visions of thy head upon thy bed, are these. Daniel gave glory to God. Arioch didn't. Daniel did. Gave glory to God. Are there times when God has been active in our lives where we take credit for what God has done? Are there times in our lives with those around us, could be family, could be friends, could be neighbors, could be anybody, but do we give God the glory? Do we? I am ashamed to admit, it's not always the case with me down through the years. Verse 29, as for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And he, God, that revealeth secret, maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. You know, God's word is going to be fulfilled one day in its entirety. We look around us, as we'll see next week, many of the things that Nebuchadnezzar saw in this dream, this vision, actually it was a dream, saw in this dream that he had what was coming later on. Much of it has been fulfilled. Some of it remains to be fulfilled. But I would suggest to each one of us that we stop, that we think a moment, that we go to the Lord. These days that we're living in are not the days that we have known in our lifetime, especially 81 years of living. I'm seeing things today I've never seen before. Natural phenomenons. Things that I've not seen. The decay of morality in our world. Things I've not ever seen. But you see, in amongst all of that, I see God's working. He's working today. He's answering prayers today. Morning. You don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You have an opportunity. We'll give you the opportunity to do that this morning. I won't embarrass you. I won't call you by name. I won't get with you afterward the service. I won't ask you to walk the aisle. But I'll just tell you this. You can know that you have eternal life as a free gift. Never lose it. Always yours. You can be as confident as Daniel was in his interpretation of the king's dream. You can be just as confident that heaven's yours forever. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. It's very simple. It's bowed, eyes closed. The bowing of head and closing of eyes really does not add anything except I want to ask a favor of you if you're trusting Christ this morning. But God's Word tells us it's for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, Christ came and died on the cross to pay for our sin, our inability to be all that God would have us to be. That would be sinless, because heaven is a sinless place. To have the righteous perfection that God requires to live in His perfect heaven, God's Word tells us that He gives us eternal life when we place our faith and trust in Christ, His death on the cross to get us to heaven. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He writes later on in the book of 1 John, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You can walk out of this building this morning knowing you have eternal life. If you will take God at His word and simply right there where you sit, trust Christ and what He's done for you to get you to heaven. You might pray something like this. Praying doesn't save you. Faith saves you. Elsewhere we find in the Word of God, believe. Over 300 times in the Word of God do we find words faith and believe mentioned. In salvation. This morning, you want to, best way you know how, God's ready to give you eternal life right where you sit. If you want to, you might in your own mind simply just acknowledge, God, I don't know that I have eternal life, but I want to know. Best way I know how this morning, I want to trust Christ and what He's done for me to get. That is done between you and the Lord. But I'm going to ask you to do me a favor because I'd count it a privilege to pray for you in the days and the weeks to come. I'd count it a privilege just to remember you in prayer. So that's the reason I'm asking, if you're doing that this morning, would you just slip up your hand till I sit and you can put it down? Anybody? Anybody? Fine. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for who you are and who we are in Christ. Thank you, Father, that salvation is a free gift. Never earn it, never pay enough, but Father, you sent your Son Christ. He made that death payment, one in which you're satisfied with so much that you give us eternal life to live in that place called heaven forever and ever with you. Father, we just thank you so much for loving us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.